Blessed is your name, Jesus. Amen. King of kings, Lord of lords. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's good to be with you today and to shout a hallelujah together into the heavenlies. As I was seated there, I felt the Lord say to me, when we gather on a Sunday morning and we begin to sing and worship him, we're clearing the heavens. We're not only singing in these four walls, we're clearing the heavens above Stroud as we're declaring truth. And I found him say to me today, Trevor, remember when you're preaching today, you're not only preaching to ears on the ground, you're preaching into the unseen forces of darkness that seek to rule. You're clearing the heavens. And I see the heavens over Stroud beginning, the clouds, the dark clouds over Stroud beginning to disperse. And I'm starting to see rays of sunshine being poured into the streets, poured into the homes. And so it's vitally important that as we gather together here on a Sunday morning, that we know our purpose. We come to worship God. We come to join with each other and love each other and care for each other. But we must realize that we are clearing the heavens, that heaven can come down to earth and to be amongst us. That's the call of God upon our lives. Months ago, I was driving to, from Stonehouse to, 5 months ago at least, I was driving from Stonehouse along Ebley, the streets of Ebley, to work. And as I was praying and singing, I felt myself, I heard myself singing this old song that we used to sing years and years ago. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Some of you might remember that, showing our age. And as it was a lovely old tune that came to memory in driving along, you know, the windy roads, Ebley. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Oh, there's a pothole. Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. And it was a lovely little tune. And I got to work, and I normally get there early, sit in the car. And God began to talk to me. And over the last couple of months, God has been reminding me of himself. And as I'd only remember that particular verse. And it keeps reverberating in my spirit. And God's not letting me go on this one. And he wants to remind us that he is mighty. He is amongst us. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 says, the Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. And over the months, I began to write down what I felt God speaking to me about. And all of a sudden, I realized there was this sermon developing. And Kim, yes, the Lord restores the years that the locust has eaten. Because never did I understand then that Martin would give me the privilege of his pulpit. And I just faithfully wrote down, and God was talking to me, and didn't realize that, yes, it would be an opportunity to preach this one day. The Lord your God in the midst of thee is mighty. There are three aspects I'd like us to look at in that one sentence. Firstly, the Lord your God. Secondly, is in your midst. And thirdly, is mighty. a victorious warrior. So let's look at point one, the Lord your God. So the question to ask ourselves is he your God? Is he my God? Is there anything else in my life that comes before him? Or the areas in my life that I keep him out of and away from? Do you and I live for him and for he alone? Does your lifestyle reflect his lifestyle? Are you a disciple or follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus asked his disciples a question, "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter replied boldly, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He had absolutely no doubt about who Jesus was. He had a conviction in his heart that could not be shaken. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." For what lies ahead of us in this world, we too need to be resolute in our faith and our belief in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The earth is being shaken. Every aspect of our lives will be shaken more and more and more. Church, we need to be resolute in our faith and our trust in the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ. Many of us here can boldly say and proclaim that. John 14, 16 says, "Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the light, and no man comes to the Father except through you." We can declare that because we know. We can boldly declare that, and we're called to boldly declare that to the world out there. If you have any doubt in your heart, if you don't really or cannot boldly declare that Jesus is the Son of the living God, if you don't know Jesus in that way, then I don't want you to leave this morning without talking to me, talking to Martin, talking to one of us, finding out who Jesus really is, what he's really done for you. Our desire is that people would know Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Welcome, welcome. Take a seat. Take a seat. Secondly, is in your midst. Let's have a look at those four little words. Is in your midst. Matthew 18, 20, Jesus said, "For where two or three have gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst." Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. Think of that for a moment. Hallelujah. We can shout a hallelujah for that one. He is in our midst as we've gathered together. Acts chapter 1, 14, the disciples were gathered in the upper room. We know the scripture so well, waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. The scripture reads, "These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer." And as I read that, I've read that for years and years, and I've longed for that for years and years. But as I read that recently, I was drawn to the words, "these all with one mind." Normally, I focus on continually in prayer. They were continually in prayer. But I was drawn to this particular part of that scripture, "these all with one mind." Okay, we know what happened in Acts chapter 2, 1 to 3, where the Holy Spirit poured himself out mightily. I wonder if they weren't all together in one mind. Some translations say were all in one place. That could be physically and spiritually, all in one place. I wonder what would happen if they were scattered around. They weren't waiting in the upper room. They were scattered around playing golf, whatever they did in those days. Everyone doing their own thing. Weren't praying. I wonder what would have happened. Scary thought. God would have found another way to bring down and usher in his Holy Spirit, I'm sure. But thank God for their obedience, that they were all in one place. They were all of one mind, and they were in prayer. The question that we need to ask ourselves is this. Are we of one mind? Are we of one mind? We're all together in one place. Sometimes some of us are out there having breaks and doing this and that. But are we all together in one mind? For the outpouring of the Holy Spirit amongst us, vitally important that we are of one mind, that we are constantly in prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to come and pour himself upon us more and more. And we see that he is doing that. We see the tide is rising. We must be of one mind in doctrine, in belief, in heart's desire, in vision, in purpose, in direction, in spirit, in prayer, and one mind in worship. One mind in worship. Do you recognize the presence of God in worship? Generally, my experience is that there are normally one or two songs that we sing where you can tangibly sense the Holy Spirit. Have you found that? I believe God is wanting us to learn to be more sensitive to him. When we sense his presence and his anointing whilst we're singing a song, and we know he's here, he's touching us, he's drawing us deeper. We need to, at that point, I believe, learn to immerse ourselves in him more. What do you mean, Trevor? I'm not sure. How do I do that, Trevor? I'm not sure. But I can only speak for myself. We need to, at that moment, in that song, while we're experiencing him, sensing him, we need to learn to drink of the water, the living water. Drink of him. How do you do that, Trevor? I'm not sure how you do it. I know how I do it. It's a difficult spiritual journey we've embarked on, isn't it? But it's a wonderful one. I know that God is drawing us deeper, and he's wanting to help us to grow more in the Spirit. He's wanting us to move more in the Spirit. All I know is we need to learn. We need to abandon ourselves to him. Even this morning, as we sang that one song, Alleluia, I sensed the Holy Spirit come upon me. And I'm just saying this, I want to help. I want us to move on in the things of the Spirit of God. And I sensed him and I said, Lord, here I am. I immerse myself in you, Lord. Just come, touch me. And help me to drink of the living water. Help me to drink of your Spirit. I'm thirsty for you. And as I just say a simple prayer like that, I begin to shake. The presence of God comes on me heavily. And I sense him. And I know. And he's touching me. And he's anointing me. It's been like this for years and years and years. I went to John Wimber once on the healing ministry, and from that time he said, who's sick? People come here. Okay, you, go and pray for him. The first time I experienced an anointing of the Holy Spirit in terms of healing, my nose started tingling. I thought, this is funny, but anyway, my nose is tingling. What's going on here? Pray for people, and they got healed. And so every time I knew there was an anointing upon my life for healing, my nose tingled. And then I knew God was going to do something. I knew he was going to heal them. That's my experience. I don't know, yours may be different. A friend of mine used to get a very warm hand. His hand would become very warm. And he would lay his hand and people would be healed. And so I want us to be sensitive to these things, okay? You're on your own journey with the Holy Spirit. I know he's wanting to pour himself out more upon each and every one of us. But learn to immerse yourself. Go home and ask yourself, if there's one thing you take home today when you're in the shower at home, ask him, say, Lord, I sense this water upon me. But I want to sense more of the living water. I want to sense more of your presence. When I experience you in a song while we're worshiping you, Lord, won't you show me how? What it is? How do I just abandon myself to you and sense you more so that you can grow me in the Spirit of God? Will you do that? Okay, we've looked at the Lord your God, and we've looked at is in your midst. Now let's look at is mighty a victorious warrior. The psalmist in Psalm 62:11 says this: one thing God has spoken, two things I have heard, power belongs to you, God. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God. God is unrivaled in power. He has no equal. The billionaires and presidents of this world might think they have power. Sure, they have a form of power, manly power. But God is unequaled in power. Billionaires, and as they race to Mars and race around the world, challenging each other, who's the fastest to take man through the skies in a rocket on a holiday? As they race for all this crazy stuff, the power of the dollar. We think of the power of the presidents. We think right now of Putin. This evil power that he's releasing into Ukraine. They seem to have power that they do whatever they want to do. I've got enough money. I've got enough power. I can do this. I can do that. But the power that they wield is nothing compared to the power of our God. Power belongs to our God. That is true power. He is the one and only true God. He is the one and only living God. He is the one and only God who can set man free from sin. He is the only God that can turn water into wine. He is the only true God who can roll back the seas. He is the one and only God who can make blind eyes to see. He is the one and only true God who can raise the dead. He is the one and only true God who rose from the dead himself. He is the one and only God who ascended to heaven. He is the one and only true God who is preparing a place for his bride, for you and I. He is the one and only true God returning to collect his people. And it's soon. I believe it's within our generation. We will see that city. We will see, look up and see the clouds. We will see Jesus. and all his glory and all his power coming to collect his bride. Hallelujah. I can sing a hallelujah for that. I can say, Jesus, what a way you've made for us, Lord. You are amazing. Now that is power. That is power. And Jesus holds all this power. Jesus holds it. He says in Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me. All authority, not just a little of this and a little of that. All authority has been given unto me. But wait for it. You know what he says then? Jesus says, I have all this authority. Now, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've taught you. This very same power that has been given to Jesus, the very same authority that has been given to Jesus, he says, guys, it's for you. You follow me, here it is. You love me, here it is. Now go and do the same things. Go and do what you saw me doing. Go and set the captives free. Go and heal the sick. Go and deliver the oppressed. Go and raise the dead. I had a friend, a pastor who used to, after he had an aeroplane, and I flew once with him to Zimbabwe. And he was a crazy guy, but he did all this stuff. People were healed and everything, but he'd never raised the dead. And he used to go into the mortuary and pray for the dead. He was so determined to see God working. Well, nothing ever happened, but at least he had courage. He had courage and he had faith to go. And
just let me restrain myself now. Another story is coming on. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, I'll read it quickly, 10 to 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you may be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness, the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul says, put on the armor of God. Pray in the Spirit, so that he could go forward and preach boldly and declare the word of God boldly. There was years I used to pray that as part of my prayer in the morning. Lord, I know, say, I'm putting on now, spiritually, putting on my helmet of salvation. I'm putting on my breastplate of righteousness, putting on the belt of truth. Putting on the shoes, well, I used to call them boots because we're in the army. Put on the boots, the gospel of peace, Lord. My left hand, I pick up the shield of faith. The right hand, I pick up the sword of the Spirit. I'm ready to do battle, Lord. What kind of battle? To go out and preach boldly. To go out and to speak about Him boldly. That's what God is calling us to do. That's why He's busy at this stage clearing the heavens over Strad. That's why He's wanting to fill us more and more of His Spirit, that we would rise up as His church and preach the name of Jesus. This glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, this amazing good news that Jesus loves us, sets us free from our sin, heals our bodies, deliver us from the oppressor. I remember in the last little story, I remember we had a Ford Ranger, a double cab 4x4 with a lovely equipped trailer, camping trailer. And Carla and I used to go off into the bush. I just love the bush. And we would go off to Botswana and Namibia, all over South Africa, camping and exploring and all that sort of thing, camping on the side of a river. And we were in Namibia 1 year, and I remember coming up as we were driving along the dirt roads and the dust behind us, and we were singing. There's a lovely song, camping, sitting around the Ardekoele, the hot coals. Sitting around the hot coals of a fire at night and having a piece of meat brine barbecuing there. And we were singing this particular song to the CD. And all of a sudden, Carla noticed this monument so on the side of the road. And she said, stop, stop, I want to go and read. What is that all about? So I pulled over. She left the door open. I had the CD, the music blaring. And she went over and she read this and she turned around. And the Namakwa people, they dance. There's a dance called the Riel dance, R-I-E-L. Go and have a look at it on YouTube. You'll find some of them doing it. Riel dance, it's particular to the Namakwa people. And all of a sudden, Carla turned around, and as she was walking back to the car, she began to do this Riel dance. And the real dance is they just kick the sand. There's so much sand there. There's no grass. It's just sand. And so they've learned to do little dances, and they play out life themes and things that happen in life and getting married and, you know, all kinds of things. But it's really super. And here Carla was in the sand, kicking the sand up, doing this dance, and I was just sitting there thinking, what a beautiful, I've married such a wonderful girl, look at her. I was just so thrilled to see the liberty and the freedom and the you know, there was such joy in my heart as I watched her just do her own thing out there in the bush. And you know, it's time for you and I, church, to start kicking up the dust. We need to start kicking up the dust as we dance for God. There's a lot of dust out there. We got to go and kick it up. Let's go and do some dancing, you know? And as I sat and I looked at her and I said, oh, this girl, what a beauty, man. And God looks at us the same. When we begin to dance before Him and kick up the dust, say, hey, start preaching about Jesus, talking about Jesus. We're kicking up the dust. He looks down and he says, oh, my people, how I love them. Look at them enjoying themselves, doing it all for me, honoring me, worshiping me. Let's go do it. Let's go and kick up some dust. Let's go and dance for Jesus out there. God bless you. I love you. Thank you.